could say, you could have said there are three things. There is the agent, there's an agent in there. That's what most people think about. There's a little thing in there. It takes something from the external world. That's another thing. And then, bingo, it creates a concept. So that would mean three. But now you see, these three things are really one. Because all it is the intellect going from one state to another. You understand what I mean? And by going, when it realizes its potential, so then it reaches reality. Now, what is the agent? What is the agent? There is no agent there. It's just it's just going from one state to another. It's the same thing, going from one state to another. Just like by the tree, there's no agent that makes the tree, the tree grow. Under certain conditions, the tree of its own volition grows. You understand what I mean? That's what we're saying is like this. A thing can undergo change in two different ways. One way that it undergoes change is by an external source acting upon it, an agent acting upon it. That's one way a thing changes. But that's not the only way a thing changes. In the case of the seed, we see that the thing changes without an external thing acting on it as an agent. You understand what I mean? It changes from within, from itself.
So that,
what this person thinks like this. There's an agent in your mind. There's an object. There's a brain, right? Now, the brain hammers out a concept, right? So it comes out like this. There is the concept, right? That's one thing, right? There is the perceiver, the person who perceives, right? He perceives the concept, and then there's the agent. Okay? All right? That the agent meaning the brain that works it out. Okay? The brain works out a concept, and he perceives that concept. I take wood and I make a table, right? You're right. What's my thing? So the thing like this. The table is one thing, right? I make the wood, I'm an agent. And the third person perceives the table. That's three. And so I had the wrong three before. The must I gave was wrong. Not the wrong. The mind is what? What do I know?
What's the mind?
In the real way, the mind is just going from two states. It's going from a state of potentiality to like the seed. Going from a state to reality, right? Now, once it goes into reality, then that is mind. That's part of the mind, the idea. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that the idea is extraneous to the mind and the mind's perceiving the idea.
Oh, I understand.
That's the key thing is, right? The guy has a problem, right? And his mind starts working on it. Now, what's that? The mind's working on it. Start counting. Now, that's what the mind's working on it, right? Right. He produces a concept. How many do we have now?
Two.
Then he perceives the concept. How many do you have now?
He perceives the concept. Three.
In other words, if you're gonna have the brain work out a concept, and nobody's gonna perceive the concept, so then that's it, right? But there's somebody that perceives the concept.
And who yourself?
You yourself.
You yourself, production, perceiving.
Well, there's one part of the brain that works it out. Then you perceive it. Oh, hey, that's a good idea. That's somebody else, right? So there's the brain. The brain works it out, and then you say, "Ooh, that's nice. That's the second guy, right? That's two, right? And the concept itself. The concept itself is the third thing.
They're all one.
It's all one thing. Don't you think? The question is, why isn't the guy external? He understands the person.
Physical body.
I don't know, whatever it is, the person, okay?
All right.
So I'll show you very simply. Because, go ahead, how do you want to say? Because if you're going to say there's somebody external there, right? So now that external thing, does that perceive the concept, or does that perceive the concept, that external thing? Oh, then it has to perceive the mind. You understand? Because the mind and the concept are one, but it doesn't perceive the mind, it perceives the concept, right? So therefore, that must mean that is the thing that's the same thing. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, because...
I'll tell you why you cannot say that there's two things here. Namely, the mind and the guy perceives it. Because since the mind and the concept are one, right? You understand? Then you're going to say that there's something that perceives, it can't perceive the concept, it has to perceive mind. But you see, you perceive concept, so therefore you must be part of that thing.
Wait.
That's what the Ram means when he says that God looks at himself and knows everything. You understand it? That's what he means. Okay?
So we are also.
Why is it? How can we demonstrate? What would be a demonstration to show that this is so and it's not the other way around, the way most people think? Okay? All right? What would be a way? Yes. Good.
Well,
the answer is like this, that if you will say the other way, right, then you can have one problem. What's the problem? The problem is you would not be able to think about the mind. If it was three parts, why? Why wouldn't you be able to think about the mind? Because the thing could not think about itself. You understand? You can't think. You could. A thing can't think about the thing. You know what I'm saying? If it's acting on an external thing, so then it couldn't act on itself. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
If it was, oh yes, if the mind acted on an external thing, right? Okay? So then that thing could never act upon itself. You understand that?
So we have about itself now, but it's all one.
But now...
How does it act upon itself?
What?
Now?
Ah! But now it's no kasha. Why? Because now it's not the pshat that it works on something else. That is mind. Mind is knowledge of the ideas.
That
is the thing. You understand what I'm saying?
So what?
Yes, because no, because an agent is an external force that acts on something else, right? But it can't act on itself, right? You understand? They're gonna have to have two parts to do that, right? Oh, so then the mind would have to be able to analyze the mind. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. But if you say it just goes from a state of potentiality to actuality, so then that state can include the mind also. You understand what I mean? That state can include every idea. It includes the idea of the mind also. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
You see it clearly?
Yeah.
If the change is from potential to actual, so then it can have... Then all it does is, it goes... There are certain concepts that it realizes, right? So it could realize the concept of mind too. Isn't that a concept? So it can realize that concept too, right? But if you're going to say that it's a thing which works on something else, so then how can that thing work on the mind? It's impossible. It's an agent. The moment it's an agent can't work on seeing. You can't see with your eyes. You can't see sight. It's impossible. It's an agent that works on something else. Can't work on itself. You have to have two things then to work on something else. Okay. The last point is this. Why does the Rambam bring this in here? The reason why the Rambam brings this in is very simple. Because the problem is, what happens in Olam Haba? See? That's the question. What happens in Olam Haba? And the Rambam brings this in for one reason. He wants to show you that the thing is this, that over here, what makes the mind go from potential to actual? What inhibits the mind? Why does the mind go from potential to actual? The answer is the relationship to the physical. Exactly. But the moment the physical is removed, then the mind goes totally into what state? The moment the physical is removed, so then the mind goes into what state?
Actual.
To actual. And that is what? Exactly right. When the mind... In other words, like this. Over here in this world, you have the... What happens is like this. A person does not perceive an idea. Yet. What does he need in order to perceive it? He needs a physical thing. He gets the physical image, and then he starts working through the physical imagery, and then the mind gets into a state of perception. Right? Okay, so why is the person in the process... What causes him to be in the process of not knowing? You understand? What causes? Because he has to operate through the physical. He has to operate through the physical. You understand what I mean? Since he has to operate through the imagery, the only way he can operate through imagery, so now he doesn't have the imagery, he has to first get the imagery, then once he gets the imagery, he might not have enough, he might need something else, another muscle, like yesterday, when Rabbi R explained to you in chemistry about breaking down the table and putting it back together. Everybody understood the difference between the rate and the amount, right? Because, see, what were you missing? What were you missing? Exactly. So why were you in a state of potential understanding before he gave that muscle? Because you have to go through the physical. You have to go, that's right. Now, once you saw the imagery, then you were able to see the concept, right? Exactly. So that's only, so you see that the limitation, that which causes the potential is because of the physical. But what happens when a person dies? What happens then? Then there's a separation between the physical and between this, right? So therefore he's always in a state of actual. That's Olam Haba. Okay? What makes the mind in a state of potential? The fact that it has to rely on the physical, on the imagery. That's why when he gave the muscle a table, he showed you the imagery. When you saw the imagery, that awakened the concept. When you saw that imagery, that awakened the concept, and then the mind was able to reach the reality of that concept, you see? But once a person dies, so what happens? So then the separation of the physical, the soul doesn't have to operate through the physical anymore. Then it's intellectuality, that's Olam Haba, that's what Ram brings it in here. You see it?
And then you have all the actuality.
Let me clarify one point. The point is like this. Somebody asked, why is it, there's three things. There's the perceiver, and then there's the ideas perceived, right? And then there is the mind, which, okay, we said those three are one. Why? Because the mind and the ideas are one thing. Then, of course, you understand that the perceiver follows. Because you need a perceiver, because you need someone that's perceiving, right? But if the mind and the ideas are one, because the state of the mind when it goes from potentiality to actuality is one of perception, so then you understand the perceiver is there, right there. That's the perceiver.
The ideas?
Yeah. In other words, what?
The idea.
Huh? ideas, and when the mind perceives the ideas, the mind went from a state of potentiality to actuality, right? Okay? So therefore, it's in a state of perception, right? So if it's in a state of perception, then it's the perceiver too. That's why it's all three. You understand that? Okay. If it's in a state of perception, then it's perceiving. Because it's in a state of perception. Oh, my dear, is he saying there's a mistake in the I can't go into that. Because there's something in a wrong idea. If it's an illogical idea, so then it means that this... Well, look at this one. When a person's going to a wrong idea, it means a state that the mind didn't go from the state of potential to the state of actuality. That's what it means. So the Rambam says over here that there is an attendant enjoyment to that particular faculty, to that performance. All right? The activity of going from potential to actual, right, of being in the state of the actual, that perfection, has with it a certain enjoyment. The enjoyment is different than the physical enjoyment. All right. The last point I mentioned last time was why the Rambam mentions it over here. What do we say? Why does the Rambam mention it over here? This whole part over here of how the soul works, why? Why? Because the only reason why I have to go from potential to actual over here is because of the inhibition of the physical.
That's right.
No, there's no physical, so you're always an actual. Okay, that's it. Now, this part we did say that it was a proof that the soul can exist without the body, because somebody asked the question, maybe the soul can't exist anymore without the body. Right? Because since you see the soul operates through the body, so the soul should not be able to exist without the body. What's the answer to that? Maybe the soul can't exist without the body. It only can operate through the body. And once the body's taken away, then it can't function anymore. Therefore, there can't be any Olam Haba, if we should say that. How could you refute that? The answer is very simple.
But that doesn't remove...
If a guy runs with... Let's say you see a runner who's running with lead on his feet, right? Removing the lead, will that make him run better? You say that no. Since he runs with lead, he always has to run with lead. No, because the lead is a hindrance, right? Now, since the physical is the hindrance to the soul, so obviously when the physical is gone, the soul can operate without it.
How do we know the physical is the hindrance to the soul?
Oh, because that's the thing which prevents the soul from being in actuality. Oh, it's like this. That so far as we see, the physical is a hindrance. So since it's a hindrance to the soul, so when it's removed, certainly the soul should be able to exist in a better state.
Let's say...
Obviously the soul goes away from the body when it goes in a state of actuality. Right?
When you say
naturally... Right? That type of knowledge is not forgetting. It's not sure to forget. It's a whole separate thing altogether. Yes. There's no question that the soul and the body are two different things. There's no question about that. The soul and the body are two different things. Now the soul operates through the body, right? Okay, now operating through the body we see as a hindrance. Because operating through the body causes the soul to... It retards the activity of the soul. Now the moment the body is removed, so obviously the soul goes into a higher state. Well, so the maybe the physical has two properties, one that it helps and one that it hinders. So therefore when it's removed, so therefore the soul will be incapable of existing. That would be true if the soul could not function without the physical. But the soul can function without the physical.
Have you done that?
The soul, the way it is now, it still functions after the physical. Correct? It's still, in other words, after you have the physical, right? After it goes through the physical, right? Then it does function, it's all right, correct? It does go into a state of actuality, right? So you see, the state of actuality can exist even without the physical. Correct? It must have the physical, even though the physical hinders it. But it still must have it in order to start it. In order to start it going. That's a good question. Let it go. Good question. I have to remember, the Rambam wasn't intending over here to prove the point. He's just intending to show you what it is. But the proof says a different story. Okay. I'll see. Maybe I'll come back to that. Let's go further. What? Answer like this. The answer is one thing. The difference between the life of the tzaddik and the life of the rush. We're not talking about native intelligence here. Intelligence, a person can have a 200 IQ. It doesn't mean he can have a cheruv olam haba. It has nothing to do with it. What we're talking about is the appreciation of chachma. That's the point. The appreciation of chachma. A person is zocha to olam haba because he appreciates chachma. Now, when a person appreciates chachma, there are two factors involved in the appreciation of chachma. One is his knowledge. Because a person who sees a tremendous amount of chachma has to appreciate it more. That's why a person like Einstein, or he didn't even know about, he believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he didn't know anything about Torah. But still, there's a tremendous appreciation of Chachma. That was his whole life. Why? Because he was a man who was able to see a tremendous amount of Chachma. The average person can't see that much. So his appreciation of Chachma is on a very high level. But there's also Maisav, What does Maisav do? What does Maisav Tevin do? A person can have the opposite way. He can have a tremendous mind, right? But his actions are corrupt. What do we mean by his actions are corrupt? We mean the way he lives is corrupt. He lives in a way which in which he follows his tithes, in which he denies the appreciation of Chachma. You understand what I mean?
One second.
So therefore, it's two factors. One is your innate ability. That's one. And the second thing is how this innate ability is used to appreciate Chachmas Hashem. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the mitzvah is a means to that. Of course, in Olam Haba there's no mitzvah anymore, but there's appreciation of Chachma, as you see from the Rambam. So you see, mitzvahs are only a means. Everybody holds this way. So Shem, no one argues on that point. So therefore, what the Rambam means is as follows. That there are two ways a person, two factors make a person appreciate Chachma. What are the two factors?
Chachma itself.
And the second thing is that he directs all his ability, he directs towards that one goal, which is L'das Hashem, the first mitzvah, the greatest mitzvah.
You can tell by
okay?
All,
you understand what I'm saying? All right. So therefore, each person has a different ability. You understand? One person's soul is capable of understanding tremendous amounts. He has a higher chelek. The other guy's a lower chelek. Alright? Balabas. Insofar as a guy's a balabas, you see, in Torah, if a guy's a balabas, he also has some appreciation of Chachma. I mean, assume a guy learns a kaveit mo Torah. He has to do it. He learns, he goes to a shiur, whatever it is, he has a concept of appreciation of Chachma. And this even the world recognizes. Because, see, they always call the Jews the people of the book. They recognize a certain intelligence there. Ah, so you see that even a person playing balabas still is superior to an average individual. Why? Because he has some appreciation of Chachma. But you understand the difference between that life and the life of a guy who's involved in Torah, the difference between East and West.
Yeah,
right? See, the only thing I can tell you this. Now, the gap, I'm not going to answer the question. Just say one thing. The gap between how does appreciation of Chachma affect, appreciation of Chachma in this world, somehow or other affects the soul in its condition in the next world. This is a gap that has to be, that's a gap that we didn't cross. Okay? We didn't bridge that gap. Of course.
What do you mean?
No question. Somehow or other, the soul is affected in this world. In what way? We don't know. Certain things we do know. But, But somehow or other, the soul is affected in this world. Certain things I could show you. Certain things I could point out to you. Like, for instance, you see the... I'll tell you, it'll be a whole long thing in itself. The limiting factor is appreciation of Chachma in this world. That's the limiting factor. How that limiting factor affects the soul and prevents it from coming to us and changes the actuality of the soul in the next world is another question. Okay. Another point. A little bit further, but no more questions on it. That's it. Now, I'm going to give it to you in a way that's a mushel. So you might have some difficulties, but I'll just show you one step closer. We get one step closer. The thing is like this, that the soul, it would appear as if, I say as if because this has to be put into metaphysical terms, and I'm going to give it to you in physical terms, as if the soul and the emotions are intermixed in this world. Okay, the soul, which means the pure Chachma, there's such a thing as the pure Chachma, and then there's the emotions, which the Rambam calls the mechitzes between you and God. He says every emotion is a mechitz between you and God. That's what Rambam says. Ah. Now it will appear as if, you can imagine this, the soul and the emotions are interwoven. That's the word. Are interwoven. Now, a person, in other words, like this, you'll notice the way people reason. They reason rationally, but there's usually emotions attached. You see? So you see that a person's reasoning faculty is a combination of both. It's an intermingling of emotions and reason. And as long as the perfection of man in this world is separating those emotions from the reason. Is separating the emotions from the reason.
What is?
That's the perfection of man in this world. That's the activity which perfects man. That's the activity which perfects the soul. The soul is perfected through the separation of the emotions from the reason. Now this is done in two ways. In one way, in a direct way through Chachma, you see? Because Chachma teaches you what is emotion and what's reason. What is correct reason, what's incorrect. When a person learns a Gemara, he has a Kashi, learns a Tesfis, he sees where his mistake is. If he does, he doesn't just accept his Rebbe Shir, but he sees where his mistake was. And he learns and he really improves his mind. He improves the Seichel HaYashar, the pure Seichel. So then, he is perfecting his soul. You see, he's removing the nonsense, you see, the emotional nonsense from the Chachma. That's one way. But in everyday life also there's emotions. The emotions are tied up with the reason. Because insofar as a person follows his emotions and lives according to his emotions and not according to the way the Seichel HaYashar, the Tzelem Elokim tells him to live, so then you see his emotions are affecting his reason. You understand? So the point is this, that perfection of man is when his reason is freed from the emotional entanglement that it's in. And this expresses itself on two fronts. One is an actual thought, that's Rav Chachmasai, and the other one is Maisav, because no person intentionally harms himself. So if a person lives according to emotions, you see that the emotions are affecting are tied in with the reason. So therefore, the soul is impure. There is the impure soul, which is in this world, and then there is the pure soul. Now, apparently, what happens is like this, that the degree of perfection is limited to how much you purify that soul. How much you rid it of the emotional nonsense over here.
Right.
See? Once you're up there, you can't do it anymore. In other words, if you don't, even though the emotions die over here, because when a person dies, the emotions die also, however, if the soul has not been separated from the emotions in this world, then that soul, insofar as it's not separated from the emotions, it cannot, it's complete. It can't operate. That part is gone. Only the only part of the soul that exists after death is that part which has been separated from the emotions. You see? Okay, you see how it works? Right.
That's the only part that exists?
That's the only part. It's hard to speak in terms of parts, even. It's all Mishalom. You understand what I mean? But that's the basic idea. That's as far as I will go to explain.
How do you know the emotions are
the next? Well, the Neshama goes up to Shemayim, right? Alright, it doesn't really travel a certain amount of feet. But what does it mean? Yeah, it's not operating anymore. When a person goes to sleep, what's operating is totally the Nefesh HaBahami. You see, all the emotions are intact. A person's emotions in his dream are more real than when in his waking life. What?
It's possible,
gang. I want to say that just to get that on the last point. That's why I told you should work on appreciation of Chachma. Even though you were trained, and I mentioned it last time, even though you're trained in the system to do it just simply on the basis of competition, you must retrain yourself now to do it for the appreciation of Chachma, to really appreciate a Svara. And if you don't do that, then you don't care about your soul. Because that's the real purpose. That's the whole purpose of the Rambam. That a person should go to a level of Lishma. The whole purpose of the Rambam is to reach Lishma. That's the whole purpose of Shalom Lishma. So now it's your achrayus. It's your obligation right now for you to work on yourself and to do it. Despite the education that you had. And despite the system you were put into. You have to realize this now. You have to work on it. And it's a work. You can't just do it so simply. But you have to spend time on working it. On the appreciation of Chachman. Appreciating the beauty of a Svara. You hear a Svara, you appreciate it, you see it, you think it over again, and you should realize the appreciation of it. You understand what I mean? Not to go by and say, I got the Svara, okay, now I'm just as good as the next guy. But to really appreciate the Chachma of the Svara, you should concentrate on that if you want to improve yourself.
Think it through and
appreciate there's a beauty to the Svara, appreciate the beauty of the Chachma.
You mean, that all happens?
Because the essence of the soul is, what's the essence of the soul? Perception of knowledge, right? And what is perception of knowledge? Perception of God, right? Because God is the ultimate of knowledge. Because everything is all knowledge. Right, God is the ultimate in knowledge. No, because all knowledge is... Knowledge means knowing why things are a certain way. All he's saying is this. That the essence... I'm going to explain it to you now. That the essence, because it perceived them. The essence of the soul is knowledge. Right? It goes from a state of potential to actual. Knowledge, the essence of knowledge is knowledge of God. Because all knowledge stems from God. Everything that's existing is His action. Now why He does this action is due to His essence. Right? So therefore knowledge of God's essence is the ultimate knowledge in the universe. Right?
Yeah.
Okay? You follow that?
Yeah.
You don't follow? That's right. So the ultimate knowledge, you understand what I'm saying? The knowledge, all the knowledge that we have today, all knowledge that we have is only knowledge of God's actions. Right? At most, the greatest chacham can only be drachacha, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. But of course, the next step is kvodecha, right? That's knowledge of why the drachem came about, because of the knowledge of God Himself. That we can't have in this world, but in the next world we can, right? So in the next world, you're studying the ultimate knowledge, correct? Okay, in the next world you have the ultimate knowledge. Now the soul is an existence, who by definition, when it's in a state of reality, is in a state of ultimate knowledge, right? That's the essence of the soul, right? So therefore, the soul exists because it perceives God. Do you understand that? Because it perceives God, it exists. Because its essence is what? Is knowledge. What's the essence of knowledge? God. So therefore, the essence of the soul is, the soul only exists because it perceives God. If it didn't perceive God, there would be nothing there. Its essence wouldn't be. Wouldn't have any essence.
Do you understand
what I'm saying? It's a little abstract. I'm saying the thing cannot exist without the essence. So therefore, it's abstract a little bit. But I think it's something you can follow. If the essence of something, if there's no essence to something, it doesn't exist, right? Now, if the essence of something is perception of God and doesn't perceive, right? And if the essence of something is perception of knowledge, which means the perception of God, then if it perceives God, it can exist, right? Because God exists. God is the cause of its existence. Because that's its nature. Its nature is tied up to God in an essential way. You understand what I mean? Okay. But Aram doesn't Cholila mean in any way that the soul is part of God. I mean, some people want to say that the wrong impression. Aram doesn't. This world, the purpose of this world is Rakhacha. That's it. And next world is Fadacha. All right. Kimeshin is Bar B'Philosoph Marishenim, like the early philosophers explained. Because the early philosophers, according to the Rambam, also understood the idea of Hasharas HaNefesh. Even though they didn't have a Masur on it, but they were able to work it out by themselves. The Rambam explains this in the Hagdama Pirish Mishnayos, in general, as general Hagdama. And this is a good which you can't compare to anything else. When it says, La'olam shekulu arach, it means a qualitatively differentiated type of day. Okay. Both. Because the evil is when a person follows the wrong derech chaim, he loses that both. Okay. V'nemar voice anafshi mechamei kol ma shebocha v'hirgu b'tanugi aguf, as much insofar as a person selected and continued to live and to act to become live according to the tanugi aguf, to involve himself in the physical enjoyments. Umas boemes, and he despised the real good, the truth. Va'ohav asheker, and he loved that which is false. Nichras me'aisa mila, he's cut off from this mila. The mila of existence after death. Okay, see that? The yeshua chaimer nichras, then he will be simply a physical substance that will be cut off. Which means that if a person lives according to the emotions, so he's only living according to a physical part of his being. So therefore, insofar as he lives a life of Taifun and involves himself in Tanugi Aguf, and when a person involves himself in Tanugi Aguf, it automatically affects him, as we told you. It affects him and convinces him that this is the real good. So insofar as he appreciates that, and he loves that, so then it's impossible for him to exist afterwards, because he becomes simply a physical entity. Chomer Nechras means he's a physical substance, which when he dies, his body disintegrates. That's the end of the physical. Okay? Yeah. It says Nechras Ba'olam Hazeh, early physical death, and also above. Okay. And the Navi already explained that the Olam Haba does not have any physical enjoyments. So therefore, my friends, if you live according to the physical in this world, you have no future in the next. But if you live according to the spiritual, which is the whole purpose of this life, then insofar as you do that, then the soul cannot be cut off. That no one has ever been able to see Olam Haba. Why can't you see Olam Haba? Because it's not physical. V'amru b'thirish zeh kolon avim kulam. Leinis nabu el yamais ha-mashiach. Avav Olam Haba, ayin le'ras alakim zulasecha. Alright, so therefore, all the nevuas and nevim are only insofar as this world is concerned. That another could see. Because another could tell, could know what's going to occur. Different things are going to occur in this world. But insofar as perceiving Olam Haba, even a Navi didn't see it. Amnam. Rams bother the kasha, same kasha in Yad HaZaka. If that's the case, that the main good is what? Is to have this existence after death, the state of the pure soul, right? Pure nefesh. So why does the Torah say the good things are, that you're going to have Vasakta Ganecha, and the good things are the physical things, the brachas and the klolos. The brachas are the good things. And why are those the brachas, and why are the bad things the klolos, disease, and all these other things are bad? But that's not really the bad. That's only insofar as the physical is concerned. But real good and bad is insofar as what's concerned? Insofar as the neshama is concerned. That's the real, because that's the real essence of man, right? So real good and bad has to be insofar as that's concerned. Why does the Torah say real good and bad insofar as the physical is concerned? Right? You understand? Now we'll see. I thought today people have a lot of physical pleasures, have a lot of physical things that they need, but there's no shkaitin. You see, the world people, the nervous systems are completely overburdened. They're unhappy. Psychologists, psychiatrists. Why? Because there's no peace of mind. That's shkaitin. Physically healthy and psychologically healthy. Two things. Ad she'tushlam lohem hayidia. Until, so that that'll be a means, so that they will be able to really work on the ideas, get together and work on the ideas, like we're doing now, and the yiskul ha'ayel ma'wa. And then through that, through working on the ideas, and through understanding what the purpose of life is, and through understanding Torah, and through involving yourself in Torah, then you'll be able to live in Olam Haba. Then you'll be able to perfect yourself in Olam Haba. However, if it's a bad time, Mulchama, Matzor, you can't do it. You can't do it, so you're not going to be able to eventually have the Olam Haba. It's a means. He know what they do if they do Averis. That's not the Einish if a guy gets sick if he doesn't Avera. Getting sick isn't in the Einish, no matter how bad the illness is. Because no matter how bad the illness is, it's terminal, and that's it. If he finishes it, he dies. And no matter how painful it is, a certain amount of years, he goes through, he lives, he dies, that's it. What is the real Einish? What's the real Einish? That through the disease, he can't involve himself in the soul, and therefore he can't do the mitzvah, so he can't reach perfection. That's the Einish. His question is that Einishim, we know, are only Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't do anything stamazai, like we do at a Rishis. Emotion. Kadosh Baruch Hu does everything only for the best. So why are these Einshim going to ruin him? Because the Einshim prevent them from reaching the good, right? So why is a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving Einish? What's the answer? Like this, you see. The reason is, an Einish perfects you also, because when a person is involved in the physical, that's the worst thing. Because then he's convinced that the physical life is the good. An Einish is something which disturbs his physical life. When it disturbs his physical life, it takes him away, it shows him, it gives him a chance, an opportunity to see, yeah, that this is really the thing we should strive for. Now, it was an interesting thing. I remember somebody came over to my house, and this person was a wealthy person, very wealthy person, a front person, London also. He said, he came over to my house, he said that his son, very upset about his son. Since he was very wealthy, he lost his money, he lost his fortune, and he went into a state of depression for 15 years. I mean, really, it wrecked him, man. He happened to be a big Baltzucker too, a very good person, big Baltzucker. And he lost all his wealth, and he was very depressed, and he couldn't live that way. And he said that therefore he sees one thing from his life, that he's not going to let his son go through the same thing. So I thought he meant to say that he's really going to have his son recognize the true value, so therefore he wouldn't be able to go through the same thing. No, he said that he's going to make sure his son has a profession, so this won't happen. See? That's the mistake. That's the mistake. The mistake is, you don't need the ancient of the Torah. There's no escape. And besides, the lesson that a person should learn from that, you see, a person can be bayit b'yisurim also. That's bayit b'yisurim, the Gemara calls it. A person kicks at the yisurim. If the yisurim can make a person to a greater, can raise him to a higher level. Why? Because through yisurim, he recognizes that the physical is nothing. Then it raises him to a higher level. You see? However, if he's bayit b'yisurim, which means that the yisurim make him more bitter, and he says, no, now I'm going to bedafka, now I see this method wasn't the right method to get the physical, now I'll get another method, then he lost out completely. Then the Einish didn't even do anything for him. You see? But of course, even with the Einish, even the Einish being the best thing for him, it's not the ultimately best situation. It is the situation where a person's ill and he needs medication. So the doctor helps him, right? But the point is, it certainly is not as good as being in a state of health. Do you understand what I mean? There's three states. There's a state where a person's in health, where really his soul thrives, and the neshama thrives and grows, and then he has olam haba. The next state is where he's involved in the physical, and the soul gets distorted and destroyed. That's the worst state. The next state, the in-between state, is where he has onshim. Onshim is a chance for the guy to recognize that this is not the thing. You're in the world bar, wrong building, there's no guarantee over here. With all the insurance companies, you can't insure one thing. The main thing is your life, that you can't insure. You can only insure somebody else will get benefit out of your death, but you can't insure the life itself. See, when a person realizes that, then he raises him to a higher level. Of course, it's not as good, because all the time he wasted with the Yisurim, he wasted time from perfection, you see. However, it still is better than letting him go in the Taivas, where he's going to completely be gone, you see. The fourth way, which is the worst way, namely, where the person is Boet B'Yisurim. He's Boet B'Yisurim, which means he takes the Yisurim, and instead of learning from them, you see, what he does is, he says, now I have to figure out a new way, how to get around this. So he sticks to the taiva, and he suffers. He has absolutely zero.
What is
onesh is misa means that he's used up his bechira. That's it. In other words, God decided that there's no purpose for his existence anymore, and he can't possibly. That's it. He can't possibly. No purpose. It helps him recognition of misa. Recognition of misa helps the person because he recognizes the fact when a person misa also. By Nisa also, for if a person at the time of Nisa, a lot of people do that. At the time of Nisa, you get a hero tshuva. You know, they think they see they're going to die. They recognize it, and they recognize the physical existence, and they think back, I should have lived differently. See, that's a mechaper. That's a mechaper.
What
time is it? Can't help it. See, when by Yetzir Lahareg, they tell him to say vidui. Tehei misasi kapar l'chol avinaisai. But he doesn't say it, so it's not going to do anything. He doesn't mean it. I mean, saying it is nothing. He has to mean it. If he doesn't mean it, it's not going to help. Of course, it has to be only with tshuva. Misa is a mechaper only with tshuva. Not misa per se is a mechaper. Misa per se is a mechaper only with tshuva. Okay. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Tshuva, even with the word said, tshuva is tela. Yisur memarkin. Misa is machik. There's the whole thing. You have to have tshuva. Without tshuva, it's not. Yeah. Right. There's the attachment to the physical, and there's the attachment to the real. Right? Now, the point is, by an onish, he breaks the attachment to the physical, but he doesn't have enough time to attach himself to the real because he's sick. You see? He does care about the physical life. You're wrong about that. The tzaddik does care about the physical life. Tzaddik cares about the physical life because it's a means to reaching the spiritual. That's why he cares about the physical.
So why?
That's the question of tzaddik v'rola and rosh v'tov. I went through that already. We answered it. I told you.
Really,
remember?
It's
not really true. Most of the time it's a mistake. Most of the time it's false. Because you look at the way the tzaddik is living and you say it's a terrible thing. It's only because of your emotions is terrible. The guy has a poor house. So you say, look at him. Oh, my God. Oh, look how he's suffering. He's not suffering. He's happy that way. He doesn't need these things.
No,
as long as he's living the best life. You can't question why to give him extra things. It's the best life. That's it. These extra things are nonsense. It's all nonsense. What's needed for? They don't need it. Nonsense. There's a pasuk in Tilum that says that sometimes a person is a tzaddik without money, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure he doesn't get money because the chance that the money will take him. Yeah, it's possible like that. This is Cheshbonos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it's hard to know. You know, I mean, the Talmud says that sometimes it happens like that, but it doesn't. But I want you to understand, the kasha is still no kasha, because as long as the guy is living the best life, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein's not a millionaire, right? Now, could you have a tiny and say that he's not living the best life? He has everything he needs, the best thing possible. You can't say he should have money too. Money's it's nothing, zero. Say, so why doesn't he have things he doesn't need? It's great. He doesn't need these things. Yes. To say that he has less chance. Like our brother kills him because he gave him all the chances and he's not going to make it. And that's it. There's no purpose of existence. Yes. Kasha. Most cases, this is the way it is. Certain cases, when it's not that way, you have to know if it's Bernard's or Kasha Brahma. In each case, you don't know. You can't play God. Yes. So I want to tell you guys from a practical standpoint, really. I mean, you're listening to Shurim and, you know, we're here and everything. I want to tell you, though. So the thing is, you can't pass any shells from Kasha. What I want to mention is this. That insofar as this is concerned, though, I just want to say one thing, that you guys are sitting here, right, and you're listening to the ideas, and you see the ideas, I want to tell you one thing. If you don't work on the ideas, you're greater fools than the fools talking about. Serious. If you don't work on these ideas, you don't really work on yourself, and develop yourself to appreciate Chochmah every day in some way more, and to pull yourself away from the taivas, and to see the nonsense of the taivas, you can't do it in one shot. I don't expect anybody to do it in one shot, you know what I mean? And it's a lifelong process. No question about it. But the point is, actually, you lost this mitzvah. K'mo shenem, atachas asher lo yavadeta, asher Hashem alakecha b'simcha, v'avadeta seivecha. U'kishet tizbonim b'zeh, tizbonim shleima. And if you think about this completely, derech b'zeh means emotionally also derech b'zeh. You have to remember that. The first thing you have to get straight in your mind is the ideas that we went through over here. Namely, that this is a true life and that this is the better existence. Regardless of what your emotions say. I know your emotions are going to tell you now, the greatest existence is the physical pleasures. You have to recognize that's just an emotion. And you can't allow that emotion to cause you to live that way. Just like a person who's sick and he doesn't want to take a medication because it's painful for him, but he has to recognize, no, that through this pain he's going to really come into the real happiness. Over here as well, the same exact thing. You have to get it into your mind. You have to really see the truth. Namely, that these taivas are only on the surface. They feel good. But there's really a greater enjoyment beyond that. And once you recognize that, once you realize that, then you're going to start working towards it. All right? That's the first step. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you mevatel one of the mitzvahs derech bizeh doesn't just mean that in a degrading way. Derech bizeh means emotionally derech bizeh. Means you look down upon it. Vayakam vayelech vayivez eisav asabchayra. What does it mean vayivez eisav asabchayra? Doesn't mean he embarrassed it. It means, yeah, it was bizeh, it was nothing to him. That's exactly what it means. To him it was nothing. He wanted something. His taivas were attached to something else, and the b'chayra looked down as a small thing. That's derech bizeh. You have to recognize. You have to know yourself that your emotions look down on it, but you must realize that's only your emotions. The truth is that you're really looking down on something great, and you have to recognize that emotion and break it. That's the important thing. That the truth should penetrate through the emotional barriers. If you don't do part of the mitzvahs, then I'll make sure you can't do any of them. All of them. Actually, yilochashlemus, until you will not have perfection, velokiyim ba'olam haba, and you will not be able to exist in the next world. V'zeo inyan omram zal, schar mitzvah, u'schar avera. That's what it means. schar mitzvah. If a person does one mitzvah and he does it because he recognizes the greatness of the mitzvah and he appreciates it, you understand? Then I'll help you to do other mitzvahs. If you do the mitzvahs a lot of Pesach and you understand them, you see the beauty of the Seder, you really see what the chachmas of the kim is, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you do other things. If you make that start. But if you dare busy, simply sit down there, just try to get over it, and your emotions are all tied in with the time of the Chilush Siyah, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that you're going to have to be in a situation where you can't do other mitzvahs also. That's what you have to remember. But you have to apply it to the practical, to your everyday life. If you don't apply it to the practical, you're going to lose out the whole thing. Okay. Gan Eden u'mokom doshein v'shamein. Gan Eden u'ram says like this. Ram says, this is what Ram says. I want you to understand what Ram says is he means that this is the way it is. It doesn't have to be precisely this way, because the Ram says no man could know exactly what it is, the way it is, until it happens. But the Ram gives you the basic idea of it. The basic idea is this, that Lassad Lover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will show us a way of life in which there are, in which we remove all the physical impediments, things that can cure many more diseases, and where a person can, a way that a person can live with the greatest physical health, and a person will be able to enjoy life so that everything, all his needs are satisfied, and therefore will be able to live according to Derech HaTorah. So whether it is a place on this world, which nowadays seems improbable, because we know the whole world already, that time Ram didn't know it, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean whether it's a place on this world or whether it's a situation. It would appear that it's a situation. It's a situation. And Lasa Lava, and they see, according to the way the breakthroughs were made, I mean, in modern science in the last years, you can really see that that situation is feasible. That's what Ram says, not Davar Rachik. It's quite feasible that in the future, I don't know how much in the future, but in the not too distant future, the world will be in a situation where they will be able to take care of the physical, so that they'll be able to live a life where, because you see that they are able to conquer more and more illnesses, they will conquer more and more diseases, so that the physical is slowly coming under control, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow men to gain that knowledge which will help them in the physical to the greatest possible degree, and therefore will have time to really involve himself in the spiritual. That's what that's Gan Eden. That's Gan Eden. Others argue. They find different plants and different things. They still find today different things that affect the person's system in different ways, you know. So that the Ram says that eventually the science will reach a point where they'll be able to control the physical illnesses and the ailments and the things that prevent the person from having a physical shlemus in order that they should be able to have a spiritual shlemus. See, actually, it's coming true today. I mean, if you take a look, you see that it's coming true more every day, yes? When? We don't know. Is that the Ram says? We don't know. Gan Eden really represents the ultimate brachis in the Torah. That's what Gan Eden is. Gan Eden isn't a new thing. Gan Eden is a situation in which the ultimate brachis are realized. When is that situation realized? When a person will have all his physical needs, he'll be able to walk in the Shleimus Olam. That's the whole purpose. It all fits in line with the purpose. And so that's the whole purpose. Yes. Amram. Take a look inside. Gehenim hu shem l'tzar olaynish. Gehenim is a term which means tzar, pain, and an onesh, sheyasig l'rishoyim, that the rishoyim will receive. The Gemara does not explain what exactly that onish is. Some say that the sun will burn them. Something from the sun. That's from the pasuk. A new type of heat. Sounds like a nuclear type of heat. Sounds like a, what do you call it, like radiation. That tischadash begufam, that will be created in their bodies, the tischadash will and destroy them. Quite the Rambam is in this world, not in this world. Right now, he's saying that lo'asid lofa, there's going to be a change in the universe, in the world, lo'asid lofa. What's the change going to be? That there'll be a situation, a general situation in which men, b'nei adam, will be able to live in the highest level, and the Rishayim will be destroyed. That's all he's saying. That's Gehenim and Gan Eden. Okay? Lo'asid lofa, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, lo'asid lofa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will perfect this world in a way that it'll be the best way for the tzaddikim to live in the worst way for the Rishayim, because the Rishayim destroyed the tzaddikim. Do you understand that? So therefore, Gehenim has to destroy the Rishayim. And the Gemara doesn't explain what it is. That's what he says. Chem eish tachalchem. What type of fire? He says some type of strange heat, which we don't know what it is exactly, he says, which will destroy the Rishayim. That's all it is. So the Asad Lovi, you'll have a situation in which it'll be the best for the tzaddikim, the worst for the Rishayim. So you'll have the best situation. That's all. According to the law of nature, Rosh has a body and the tzaddik has a body. So you have to differentiate. So this is the way it's going to be differentiated. Some way that the Rosh... What? The souls of who? No. Tchias HaMesim is something which is Ikre Hadas, and anyone who doesn't accept Tchias HaMesim has no part in Das of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll explain to you one time why it is so. They come back to them and then they die again. Yeah, Avalu Tzadikim. Tzadikim will return and they die again. Lachena Lashem Bereshis Rabba. Gvuras Gesham L'Tzadikim U'L'Rishayim. Tchias HaMesim L'Tzadikim Buvad. The rain rains for everybody, whether it's a Rosh or a Tzadik. He still has farms fertilized. But the, but Tchias HaMesim is only for Tzadikim. Ve'ech Yichyur. Analyze why, first of all, what Tchias HaMesim Gvuras Gesham is with all the... Shall we go into that? I don't do that tomorrow, okay? All right. The mention was what Ram says about Tchias HaMesim and Gvuras Gesham. He quotes the Chazal. Chazal say that Gvuras Gesham is L'Tzadikim U'L'Rishayim, and Tchias HaMesim is only L'Tzadikim, right? He says... So it says like this. He mentions, in other words, he went through what Gan Eden is, he goes through what Gehenim is. Gehenim, according to the Rambam, is something as a phenomenon in this world. It has nothing to do with the next world. It's a phenomenon in this world, according to the Rambam. And what type of a phenomenon it is, he says, it wasn't clear to Chazal. Some say that it was what it means is that the Rishon will be destroyed somehow, either through the sun or through some internal heat that will destroy them. Physical. Yeah, it's physical form.
Their
body's here, only in this world. Yeah, Ganim is in this world according to Ram. Ganim doesn't mean commonly. It doesn't do that. It's a separate thing. If you die, all the Rambam says is this, that if the person dies, if his soul is perfected, then it continues to exist. If it's not perfected, it ceases to exist. What? Gehenna means there will be a time that the Rishayim will be destroyed. Okay. On this world, so that the world will be able to exist in a better state, a more perfected state. Okay. Has to do with the Bias HaMashiach. But he mentions this Tchias HaMesim. Then he goes, what's Tchias HaMesim? So he defines Gan Eden, Gehenim, right? Gan Eden is a physical thing also. What is Gan Eden? It means a place in this world where a place, a situation in this world where a person will be able to live to the, have the best type of food and the best situation. Okay. Now, the next thing is what? Tchias HaMesim. All right? He says Tchias HaMesim is part of the Das. He says, and a person who doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim has no part of Teres Moshe Rabbeinu. No part of Teres Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's only for Tzadikim, not for Hashem. And he quotes the Chazal. Tchias HaMesim is only for Tzadikim. Gvuras Geshomim, rain is what? Is for Tzadikim and Rishayim. What's the analogy? Tchias HaMesim? What's the analogy? You have the analogy somewhere else. What do you have the analogy? What do you have the analogy? Shmona Esrei. Go, what? You have the Bracha Baruch Hashem Atagiba, right? And you say two things. You say Mashu Racham Arda Geshem, and you say Mechayim Esim. So you see, Chazal equated the two. Okay, so what is Tchisam? What is Gvuras Gesham really? Gvuras Gesham is what?
The rain.
Is the Chochmas Hashem in maintaining the Bria? That's what it represents. L'svuna Sayin Cheke, the Gemara says, that's Gvuras Gesham. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way that there will constantly be life will always be maintained, and the essential thing is the cycle of the Gesham. So Gvuras Gesham represents simply Brias. That's what the Gemara says. Gadol Yom Yiridus Geshamim Ki Yom Brias Shemayim Varetz. It represents Brias Shemayim Varetz. Okay. So what does Tchias HaMesim have to do? What is Tchias HaMesim? See, it's interesting. Why is Tchias HaMesim really one of the Yesedis? Why is Tchias HaMesim one of the Yesedis? Why must the person believe? I mean, the other Yesedis understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Guf. This is a Yesed. I mean, it's the basic thing, right? Teres Moshe is a Yesed, right? Nevius is a Yesed. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that have to do? What is Tchias HaMesim? Why is Tchias HaMesim so important that it's one of the Yud Gimel? Who cares if a guy doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim? So he doesn't. So what? What's the terrible? What's the answer? It's interesting. The Rambam asked the question, The Rambam explains it himself in one of his Igreis. In the Igeris on the Maimat Tchias HaMesim, he explains it. He says Tchias HaMesim is not the positive belief of Tchias HaMesim which is important, but if a person denies it, then it means he denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? He says, in other words, the reason why he included it in one of the Yigimel is not because of its positive nature, but because to negate it is to negate the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? What happens if a person negates it? What does it mean? What does it mean? The question is the old question. The question is, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world, the universe, or does the universe simply is eternal coexistence with Him? Right.
So if you say Tchias HaMeisim, what does it mean? The philosophers maintain that the existence of the universe, that the universe is also Kadmai, which means that the universe coexists with God. What does it mean to coexist with God? What does it mean? It means it's a necessary result of his existence. We say it's a necessary result of his action. You see? Of his actions. Right? That's Mitzrayim, correct. But Tchias HaMeisim, you see, Tchias HaMeisim, if a person accepts Tchias HaMeisim, he must accept what? He must accept what if he accepts Tchias HaMeisim? That it's not a part of, that's right, that's not a part of, it's not a necessary part of his age. Because, right, because you say that God at one time will come and intervene, right? So therefore it's not, the world does not exist as a result of his nature, but as a result of his action. Because it means at a certain time he will cause a recreation, a new creation. Right? That's what Tchias HaMeisim means. If it's a result of his nature, so then nothing can change. Everything just keeps going along with the laws of nature. You see? So therefore Tchias HaMeisim, if a person denies Tchias HaMeisim, what does it mean?
No, he denies
that it can't happen. That's right. If he denies it will happen. If he denies that it will happen.
Maybe he denies it just won't happen.
A person must deny it for one or two reasons. Either he thinks ascension is impossible, right? Or else he doesn't accept the Torah. One of the two. Right? So if he doesn't accept the Torah, I mean, that's really one of the other that he has to accept the Torah. So therefore, the only possibility left is because he says it's impossible. Right? So therefore, a person who denies Tchias HaMeisim simply maintains that this phenomenon is impossible. Maintaining the impossibility of that phenomenon is a denial of Yahdus. See? Yes? How important? See, people understand it in a very infantile way, mostly. They say, well, why do you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadmain. He's the first. It doesn't matter who's first and second. It has to do with, you know, it's baby stuff. I mean, I was first. That doesn't mean his first is better. What it means is simply, the question is understanding the nature of the whole Yahadis is, what's the whole purpose of Yahadis? You say it, the Rambam says. What's the whole purpose of all of Yahadis? Knowledge of God, right? So that's why this is important, because this has to do with the point about God's nature. Do you understand what I mean? That's why it's so important, because anything which is knowledge of God is of the utmost importance. That's the whole purpose of Yahadis. The reason why Rosh Hashanah represents Rosh Hashanah of Aretz is because that's a necessity of Rosh Hashanah of Aretz. The rain, the cycle of the rain, the formation of clouds, and the rain, the whole cycle, is a necessity for what? For the existence of Shemayim Varetz. That's why it represents Shemayim Varetz. That's why the Gemara says it's Ki Embriya Shemayim Varetz. Now, let's see. Yeah, now there's one more point. Now, the Rambam says like this. He says, it's interesting, when the Rambam says that it's only for tzaddikim, he says, why? He gives a reason. It's funny, he doesn't have to say anything. He says, Ve'ech yichyu horoshayim ve'heim mesim achilu b'chayayim. V'chein amraf rishayim afilu b'chayayim kriyim mesim. Tzadikim afilu b'misasam kriyim chayim. So that's why he says that Tchias HaMeisim is only for tzadikim. It's a nice thing. I mean, what does the Ram mean? Why is that so? Ram is showing you, what is Ram showing you over here? Showing you the what? What is it showing you? It says like this. Right. So the thing is like this. Gvuris, what does the Chazal mean? Gvuris gishomim is le rishayim ula tzadikim. What does it mean, Gvuris Gesham L'Rashayim Ola Tzadikim? Gvuris Gesham means that there's two, the world, there are two worlds, you see, there are two worlds. One world is what? Physical world, correct? But then man was endowed with a certain quality, certain intelligence, with which he can perceive a whole different universe, correct? The universe of ideas, right? Now that universe is the non-material universe, right? Gvuras Gishomim Latzadikim Ulurashoyim. Insofar as the physical is concerned, so they're both affected. Because the Rosh has a goof, the Tzaddik has a goof. Correct? Right? But insofar as the other universe, the universe of Chochmat Hashem, the non material universe, that universe is only for who? Only for Tzaddikim. Why? He says, Eich Yichyu Horashoyim Hashafilu Bechayehem Eim Kriyim Mason. Why is this? What does it mean, Afilu Bechayehem Eim Kriyim Mason? What does it mean? Why are they Kriyim Mason B'chayim? Why is the Russian?
They have the other thing.
But why are they considered dead when they're alive, but physically they're alive? Why do they consider them dead? That's the answer. Insofar as what? What does dead mean? What does dead mean? What does dead mean? Dead means the thing is not here, right? The thing is not here insofar as its essence is concerned. Its essence is non-existent, correct? What is the essence of man? And if the person's a Russian, it means he's totally physical, correct? Does he exist as a man or Russia?
existence.
No, so therefore he's dead. He's non-existent. You understand? Right? You know fit? He says, Vida, he says, Ki ha'odom. Oh, so that's why what he says, right? That the Rishayim cannot live later by Tchias HaMesim. Because the moment their physical body perishes, that's it. So therefore the essence is gone. There's nothing left. The physical is gone, right? And what else is gone? The soul, the essence is missing. So how could he possibly relive? There's nothing. If you're going to recreate a Rashi, you're going to have to recreate a different person. The first person is completely demolished. He's completely dissolved. You understand what I mean? What? But the only thing there was a physical thing, right? And that physical thing is gone already because it broke down to its elements. Right? But by a tzaddik, there's something which remains. Even though the physical is gone, but what remains? The soul. Ah, so now he can come alive again. Why? Because all he has to have is a new physical form, but there's something left. But a Rashi, if you're going to recreate a Rashi, you're not going to recreate the same person anymore. What are you going to recreate? A totally new being. That's not Tchias HaMesim, that's a new Bria. No, so Tchias HaMesim is impossible for a Shayim. Okay, yes. He receives his soul as Bria Vuvia. It's tied in the emotions and the thought. Everything is all one mix-up. But he has to separate. And create. He creates the soul. Man creates the soul by separating the dross, removing the dross from the pure. You see, and once whatever he sets aside is the pure essence, that's what exists after that. You see? But if he doesn't set it aside, then it can't exist. And so far as the fight
with. But he can set aside some without
being. Let me go through that. Sure. But Rashi means that the prime mover of a soul is the physical, the emotions. That's the prime mover. But Chachma is not a prime mover. Chachma is a tool. Rashi also uses ideas. I mean, Nazi Germany also worked out formulas. But the prime mover was not any idea. What was the prime mover? Just type it. Physical. Everything's physical. That's the thing. The fact that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lo Kavon Ba, that there's variation of degrees. Okay? Alright. There's a range of degrees, yes? It means a person who lives according to the system of Yahadis. A person who lives according to the system of Yahadis. So basically, a person who follows the basic system will definitely have a Kavon Ba. That means he has a certain degree of perfection. A guy, you can't say it, because a guy will, a guy doesn't live like an animal. It's the unusual. He has to really pull himself out of the whole way of life. It's true, he could save himself. He could. It's a tremendous amount of ability he has to have in order to do it. But by Yisrael, since he has the Torah and everything else, so if he simply follows the Torah, that will give him a basic chelak. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Says that man must ultimately die. What does he mean? He means after Tchias HaMesim, there still will be death. Because death is still a perfected state. The Ram did not believe that Tchias HaMesim will be eternally. In other words, that the Mason will come back and then they're going to live forever. He held it was going to be a recreation, they'll come back, and then they will pass away again. Why? Why the Ram all that way? Why? Because the physical has to be necessity. Once you operate through the physical, we went through this, remember? You see, you operate through the senses and therefore you're limited. All the stuff went through for. That's why the Ram says it. So he dies again.
Could you die again?
The question is, what's the purpose? If we're going to die again, what's the purpose? We'll try to answer that too. Yes? So the only ones that the people that should look forward to Mashiach is two people. People who like Torah and people who are lazy. Yes?
So,
you see, you have to understand one thing. The Ram says, he says it later too. He says, in those days of Melech HaMashiach, there will be tremendous perfection. What is the idea of Mashiach? Didn't I tell you one time, what's the idea of Mashiach? What is the idea of Mashiach? The whole idea of Mashiach, what is the concept? I mean, it's a basic philosophy over here. It's not just the way people imagine in the childish fantasies that Mashiach's going to come right along to help them. What is it? Well, what does it give? More, a little more. See, there's one thing. Didn't I mention it? The thing is that our Kaddish Baruch Hu's actions are always perfect. They're always perfect. They're as perfect as possible. Right? But there's one area of imperfection. Which area of imperfection is that? That's the social system on this planet. Why is the social system, the injustice in the social system on this planet is imperfect? Why isn't it perfect? Because man is Bechira. Right? Correct? Okay. But Yahadis maintains that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will perfect that the social system also. That's all Mashiach means. Mashiach means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow the world to go in an imperfect state for a while. But ultimately, since all God's actions are perfect, so ultimately the social system of man on this planet will be perfected as well. No. It means the situation will be such that the Bechira will not be permitted to interfere with the social system. Okay? Now you can't ask a question. There are a lot of questions. Yeah. Well, how come? Everyone's like this. Let's say you have Bechira to do right or wrong, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now your Bechira can become a tremendous rusher. You can destroy people, right?
Yeah.
At that time, we'll not be able to destroy the social order. Within a certain... it doesn't mean you'll not have Bechira anymore, but it means you will not be able to affect the social order. Let me put it this way. Here's that. What it means is as follows. What it means is that the social order until that time is given over to man. Man was given the ability to create his own social order. A good, be it good or be it bad, it's in his hands.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't mean to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't intervene at certain times, in certain situations, but on the whole, it's his. You understand? And Kadosh Baruch Hu is always saved. No matter what happens, they can't destroy Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's not given over to man. You see? But within that, certain limitations. But in the basic order, man, Russia has the right to create a society with destroying millions of people today. Right? Okay? The United States in a different way. I mean, different governments they're destroying people. Millions of people are born and raised with certain corrupt ideas and they can never see the truth. Right? That is only right now. Because that's the way God gave that over to man. But there will be a time when God will take that away from man and the social order will be a perfected order. Now you can't ask a question, why did God do it at this time and not at the other time? And I can't answer you that. You understand what I mean? We can only say... Excuse me? Insofar as individuals are concerned, the Bechira will still exist. But as far as the social order is concerned, the Bechira will cease. He can't affect the social order. Anybody who will want to attain the good will be able to attain the good. You see? That's all Mashiach means. Because Mashiach means God's, just like God's actions in biology and in science and every year in the universe are perfected to the highest degree of Chachmah, Ein Chekel L'Svenasai, right? So too in the social order. But the reason is at this point God didn't do it because in order God gave it over to man. I can't ask why he did it until this time and why that time. You can't ask a question like that. Even though it bothers us, we have to realize that that's out of the realm of our ability to understand, to comprehend. Okay? Yes. Insofar as a human being is concerned, that's perfect for a human being. You understand what I mean? So, because if you create a man without Bechira, then it's true you'll have a perfect social order, but you won't have a man anymore. Because man by definition means that being which has Bechira.
Yeah.
Right? But the only thing is that his Bechira results in an imperfect social system. You see? Because he misuses Bechira. Now God will give man a certain amount of time to play around with the social order. It's in his hand. But after that he will not allow it to continue that way. Why? Because it's within God's nature that what? That perfection must exist. You see? Okay. It means there will be a time of the frustration of the Russia. He still has the right to choose. I mean, he wants to sit in the terror. He wants to follow his crazy emotions.
That's
perfection as far as the guy's concerned, but not as far. Insofar as a being having Bechira, there's nothing imperfect about that. That's proper, because that's what the being is. And insofar as he destroys himself, that's proper, because that's perfect, because that's exactly what he was created. But as far as the social order is concerned, it's an imperfection. You understand? So the social, what is the whole idea of Mashiach? That's what Mashiach means. Mashiach means there'll be a time when God will perfect that last part of his creation, which is the social order. Until that time, it was given over to man. Now, why God deemed it right to give it over to man for a certain amount of time and then to bring it back, then to intervene? Now, we can't ask a question like that. I mean, you can think about it, but we don't know. Yes, that's right. Of course, he didn't create. The imperfection is from man, but he did not perfect that system. In other words, like before, let's say God creates the Bria Shema Yaretz, day one, day two, day three, day four. Now on day three, you don't have the perfection of day four.
Are you saying that...
Doesn't mean he just didn't do it. You understand what I'm saying?
There's
pre-perfection, you understand what I'm saying? Not imperfection, it's pre-perfection. The Eretz Yisrael eventually will bring out guskos, means like good food, like rolls, good pastries, you know. So it means that pastries mean that it's more perfected and reaches a greater perfection than the seed. Okay, and clay milas means expensive garments. All right, because the garments don't grow. Grows is the cotton.
That's right.
Lafisha b'nei Adam Omrim. Naturally, he says, what does that mean? He says, people took that chazal literally. And they thought that you walk outside and you really will see, there's a nice roll. Just grew this morning, hot roll. Take it and put it off here. He says, or a guy will walk out and they'll find a tuxedo in his backyard. He says, no. He says, that's not what it means. He says, it's only a mashal. Why? Because when a person finds something That's already, he said, they say, the expression is, this guy found baked bread. Which expression? What does it mean? He got baked bread. It means that he didn't have to do anything, got everything prepared, that's all. It's just an expression of Chazal. The Tafshel Mavushel, the man had, he got everything cooked for him. Which means he didn't have to work, that's all it means. Now he says like this, well, Rayal's there. He says, and the proof for that is Masha Nemar, because the Pasuk in Yeshayo that speaks about the Melech HaMashiach says, Ubnei Nechor Ikorechem Vikormechem. He says, the Bnei Nechor, other people will be your harvest, your plowers, and they will take care of your vineyards. Lo Dia, which shows, Sheyesham Zerah Vakatir. Obviously, the people are planting and they're plowing. If you must, Mashiach, you won't have to do any of that work. It's going to be all by itself, automatic. He says, then you wouldn't have to say that others will be doing it for you. There's nothing to do. You see? He says, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that says that when this Gemara is in Shabbos. He said, it was when Gamliel said that Eretz Yisrael is going to produce finished products. So another guy with the Talmud said, that can't be, something like that. He says, no, I'll show you. He says, I'll show you mushrooms. See mushrooms? They grow overnight. You can eat them. You know, so you see that it's possible. Now, if you take that Chazal literally, so you'll say that it means that everything's going to become like mushrooms. So the Rambam says, no. He says, he answered him because that Talmud was a fool, and he couldn't explain it to him in the real way. So he just gave him a mushroom, he says. But that's not the real answer. You understand? It's interesting, Rama. He says, this Varaya al Shiloh, hey Shiloh alamitaso, and the Raya that didn't answer him the truth, he had by Hillel also. When the guy asked him questions, he didn't answer him the truth. You see? Because you don't know, you have to, because the Gemara says, Al Tan Kisil Kavloso, Kivalto. He says, yeah, the Ram says, Varayal Zeh, Mashahevi Ray Al Tan Kisil Kivalto. The Gemara says that you have to answer a fool according to his, sometimes you should answer him according to his folly, sometimes you shouldn't, the Gemara says. And when it comes to Torah, you have to answer him according to his folly, because he can't understand it any deeper. So therefore, you see, you didn't give him the real answer. Ah. What is the real answer? Let me ask you a question. If we should say, it says that in those days a person will do a little bit, with a little bit of effort, will be able to do a lot of work, right? And we say there's no change in the laws of nature, right? How is it possible? What it means is, if you're going to tell me that a person, there'll be a phenomenon in which you can expend a little bit of effort and get tremendous results, and there's no change in the laws of nature, there's only one answer. What's the answer? Technology, that's what it means. It means there'll be tremendous advance in technology. It's not a possibility. Because technology means that man will be able to learn how to utilize the laws of nature for his own benefit, you see, to a tremendous degree. That's what technological advancement is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it means.
Well,
all right?
It
doesn't say that. It doesn't say, because it says...
That's what it says.
I know, I understand that. It's part of it, but that's not what it is. There's two things. That's one thing. He's bringing it right from the Shayo.
Yeah.
From that point, but that, there's another pasuk that says that there's going to be a total change, that things will be produced.
Oh.
You understand? There's two things. B'nei Nechoi Karechem and Karmechem is not referring to the other pasuk. The other pasuk is a different pasuk that says there's going to be a tremendous change in it. Mark what the pasuk can tell him. You understand? It's a different thing. So there's two things. Others will work. Here's one thing, but also the situation will be such we have tremendous. I see that it's a lahotzi gluskos. It doesn't mean that others will do it. Lahotzi gluskos. So what does it mean? It means that with a little bit of effort, the Rambam says, with a little bit of effort, a person will be able to achieve a lot, which means tremendous technological advancement. That's all it means. That's what it is. Okay. A situation in which, like we mentioned before, this is why he brings it in again, even though I mentioned it before. Because now he's telling you the purpose. The purpose is, I said it before already, but it really should be said at this point. I told you, I want to say it a little early, that the whole purpose of Mashiach is perfection of social order. So that each person will have the ability.
Today, not everybody has the ability.
No, because today they do. Russia don't have the ability. Today they don't have the ability. Because how many people can find the true ideas today? Person's raised in a crazy society. This society, never mind, is America,
United States.
Well, Yomus. Mashiach himself will die, because he will not be different than anybody else. The Imlov Beno Taktov, who Ben Beno, who Kvabir Anovias Misasa. And the Novi already explained that he will die. Lo yikev lo yoretz ad yosim ba'aretz mishpat. That he won't die until he sets up, establishes justice in the land, which means to establish the true social order. Right. The yarech malchusa yomim rabin, and his kingdom will exist many, many days. Ad ma'od. The yarechu b'nei ha'odom. Chaye b'nei ha'odom. People will live longer in those days. Why? Gamke, why? Why will they live longer? He says like this. The fi shekisha yasuru hadaigos. Right. Vahai yogonos. Yogon. Vahai yogonos. Vahasim meni yogon vanocha. Vahai yogonos yairichu yimeha odom. Because if you take away the emotional stress that a person lives through, a person will live for a longer time. So the Ram held that emotional stress can cut a person's life short. So therefore that will be removed, so a person will live a longer, a better life. Not because there will be something strange, a new thing, but because the type of life that he'll have will be able to live naturally, quietly, peacefully, without the worries and the daigas, you see, be able to live for a longer time. Man's life can be extended. He can be extended how? Simply by living in a better situation, one that's more normal for his needs. But Bismana said we don't have that. Is the Malchus will go on thousands of years. Fisha Chomim Amru. Ki Akibu Tatov Kishi Iskabe Tlobim Heri Yipareid. That when you have something which is good, brought together well, will not break down for a long time. Interesting thing, I'm not going to go into it, but it would appear to Ram Mahal that after many, many thousands of years it could break down. Alright, I'm not going to, I don't know. They know the Masavim Mumakavli Mas Mashiach, and why do we want to live in the times of Mashiach? Lurova to us, not because we want to have so much wealth. Because one has so much food, va'osher, va'loshin yirka, va'al-susu, va'lo-lishkos, yayin b'mini azemer, not to have songs, and all. Kemoshim achashvim, mevubale hadas, like the people who are completely confused think. I mean, today, mevubale hadas, you have a look. What is their enjoyment? Sure, they can take the guitar, sit down, parties, beer. That's the mevubale hadas, you have them today. You don't even have to try to imagine them. Aval esavo anaviyin v'achasidim yimosu Mashiach. The Rav said, "Chukasim elav." Why did the Chachamim want to have him as Mashiach? The Mashiach ibn Mikvah yonim yasigu ha'olam haba hasaga chazaka. And with these things, they will be able to comprehend a very ha'olam haba, a very strong comprehension. All right. Now I don't know if he means yasigu ba'elam yonim yasigu ha'olam haba hasaga chazaka. What does he mean over here? The simple pshat is that he means that they'll be able to attain Olam Haba to a very great degree. They'll be able to attain Olam Haba to a very great degree. Okay, let's leave it that way. Vatachasu Olam Haba. And the purpose is what? Olam Haba. Purpose is Olam Haba. Ulu'umas, ulu'umaso hu ha'ishtai. See, it could be also, let me tell you what I think it might be. Ube'elo yanam yasigu Olam Haba soga chazor. I'll leave it that way, okay. Vatachasu Olam Haba, ulu'umaso hu ha'ishtadlas. Do we have the other one, Kapach's translation? Alright. That you shouldn't learn. You shouldn't do Torah for Olam Haba. And now he's saying the whole purpose of Olam Haba. That's what this question of Yeshua Olam Haba means. That's the ultimate good. Right? How can you say at the same time, don't learn Torah for Olam Haba when you know that's the ultimate purpose? It's like a guy telling you to fool himself. You know the best thing in the world is to go and is to go to work. Why? So you can get your check. Nah, work for its own sake. But you know, it's foolish. If that's the ultimate good, so then how can you fool yourself? You mean you're supposed to blank out the fact? Thursday is better, right? That's the kasha, and this is the last kasha I'm going to deal with. What's the answer? The imei yosa hu atachlis. Even though this is the ultimate, even though this atachlis hamavukish, even though this is the ultimate objective, so will be the human fact will be perfected, and when he becomes a perfected individual. V'yi Adam Shalem, correct? Ah, u'kishyi Adam Shalem, and when he becomes perfected, miteva Adam Shalem, part of the nature of the perfected man is asher ein lo moneif. There's nothing that prevents him. Shetichya nafsho, that his soul will exist for tiskayim b'kiyim ayadua lehu v'zeu olam haba. It'll exist in olam haba. K'moshe amru, k'moshe amanu, v'zeu shenema. Okay, al tiyukisus k'peret ein hovin b'mesek v'resen. Why? K'moshe amru. A person shouldn't be like a horse. Why? Because a horse, the horse wants to stray from the path, right? But what keeps him back? The reins. A person shouldn't be like that. Why? Because a person should do the thing good because of the good sake. But what should prevent him? His own self should prevent him. Not an extraneous factor. Ritzoni Loma, what do I mean himself? Surah Anushis, the human factor. Right? The human element. Kishatiya Shlema, when it's perfected, he tinana, that'll prevent him from doing me'os nadvar, from doing the bad thing, shemona mimenu ashlemos, which prevent the perfection. They manakra mitos robs. The heat is arizos over titchenu al mashi yivyeu al ashlemos. V'zeo amidus atovas. Zeo amis bairli mekval devrem b'zeo inyin anechbad vanala. The question is like this. Question like this. Why should a person do the good? Should a person do the good to help God?
No.
Why is it good? Okay. But the God tells the person how to protect himself, right? Okay. Now what's really wrong with the doing something for Olam Haba? What's wrong with it? Why is that? Right? You shouldn't do it for Olam Haba, do it for its own sake. Why can't I do it for Olam Haba? What's wrong? Why can't I do it for Olam Haba? What's the answer? The answer is because when you're doing it for Olam Haba, you see, what's wrong? What's wrong is what? No, because when you're doing, you're corrupting the value. In other words, they're saying like this. Saying, really, learning isn't good. That's kasus. Really, for the horse, the best thing is to stray from the path. Go wild, run in the pasture, right? But he wants to, but the reins give him a pull, and he has to go back on the trail. That's kasus. So, what is ka'adam? What is ka'adam? Adam means that he does it, why? Because inherently, it's what? Inherently, it's good, correct? Now, what's wrong if a person does it for Olam Haba? When a person does it for Olam Haba, he's saying, in essence, Torah really is no good, right? But I'm doing it for another thing. So he's perverting the value of Torah. Do you understand what I'm saying? What's wrong is not the fact that he wants to gain Olam Haba. That's fine. A person's supposed to do things for his own gain, right? But what's wrong is he's perverting the value system. How's he doing that? Because he's saying like this. He's saying, why am I learning? Really, the best thing is to have tithes. But I'm learning because I want to get paid back. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing that's wrong has to be not true. And anything that's true can't be wrong. Isn't that correct? Okay. So if something's wrong, it means the lack of knowledge. Right? Something wrong with it. Now, if a person says, I'm learning Torah because I want to get paid back. Torah's really bad. I'd really like to spend my day in Taifa. I'm learning Torah, right? Because I want to get paid back. Is that a perversion of the truth or not?
Yeah,
that's perversion of the truth. If a person says, I want to learn Torah because it is the best life, and because then I will also be able to have an eternal benefit. Is that a perversion of the truth, or it's true?
No.
What is it? It's true. So is there anything wrong with that? No, so that's okay. That's right. Exactly. So that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says a person can learn, a person should learn for Olam Haba, but not the way that other people think.
Not only for Olam Haba.
Correct. The right definition of learning.
No, not only for Olam
Haba. A person could. A person should learn for Olam Haba. Could learn it. But not only for Olam Haba. If he learns only for Olam Haba, what does it mean? It means that inherently over here, this is a bad thing to do. Do you understand? You understand what I'm saying? So therefore he's saying, I'm doing a bad thing to myself in order that God should pay me back with a better thing. That's a perversion of the truth. What you're doing is the best thing for yourself. But if he knows, I'm doing this because it's the best thing right now, even though if there was no Olam Haba. But there's an Olam Haba also. You see? And I'm doing it now, he knows that there is. Of course he's doing it for that too. But that, is that a perversion of the truth?
No.
No, so what's wrong with it? Do you understand what I'm saying? So Torah Lishma means that he could learn. It's not that Olam Haba is the bad thing. It's the perversion of the truth that's the bad thing, which means saying I'm doing it for Olam Haba
only,
which means that inherently I'm doing a bad thing here. I'm doing a terrible thing to myself. It's pain, it's killing me. But I'm doing it because I'm going to get something better. That's the perversion of truth. That's Altiyu Kavadim Mesham Shur. That's Kisus Kiperet. The reins are pulling him back. But if a person knows this Olam Haba, and he knows that if you live the best life over here, and you perfect yourself as a human being, which is the highest good, then there's even a greater good. It has a greater expression after death. Right? And he's doing it for that too. Is there anything wrong with that? No! Because there's no perversion of truth. He's doing it for its inherent benefit. But it has two benefits. It is a benefit over here because insofar as he's a human being, this is the best thing. And it just so happens that a human being exists post-mortem also if he reaches that level. Correct. If you do it because you think Olam Haba's compensation for something else, then it's bad. If it's a natural result, then that's exactly what it is. Exactly. To be mekabel schar. What is schar? Schar, sochar means what? Means chalipin. It means to trade off one for another. That's what's not good. But if it's not a trade off, there's nothing wrong with a person knowing he's going to get Olam Haba and of course doing it because of that. Provided he understands that Olam Haba is a natural result of perfecting yourself as a human being. Not that you're doing something evil to yourself over here in order to get Olam Haba. On the contrary, Olam Haba is a result of living the perfect life of a human being over here, which is good for you here and good for you there. What do you think, Chazal? Why do Chazal talk about the schar, matan schar of tzaddikim olam haba? You think they didn't know? They knew it was tremendous schar. You think it didn't motivate? Doesn't motivate you to learn Torah and to live the right life? Of course. Boyrei kama scharin shal tzaddikim l'gemara says. So what is Gemara trying to do? I mean, if it says that's shalol l'shma, that's not shalol l'shma. That's just showing you what the good is, how far the good goes. But you're not doing it for that as compensation. You're doing it because it's a natural result. In short, it's like this. There's two concepts. One concept is compensation, the other one is a natural result. If a person does it for olam haba because it's a natural result of being a perfected human being, which means as a human being here, this is the best thing to do, and there's an additional benefit because an outgrowth of this, a result of this, is that you're going to have olam haba too. That's not cool. There's nothing wrong with that. If a person does it as compensation, which means that over here the best thing is to really live the life of taiva. But if you repress that desire, that urge, and you suffer, then you're going to get paid back, compensation. That's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the Rambam says. See, this is what he says. This is like this. Yesh lo lavor al haderech she'omer. This is the way a person should worship Hashem. What is it? V'zeh. Look, listen what he says. Kishiyamin she'eshem chokhma v'yatar she'giyaya t'lon v'yimeis habari yisal ha'shed yonu v'zeh namir t'tovos and mitzvah mitzvah Hashem averos. Roy lo. It's fitting to mitzad shehu adam yoshev amezik. Since he's a person who is an individual that is composed properly, he's right. Shiyasa hatovos v'yosur min aros, right? You should keep away from the bad. Ukishiyasa zayisholim bo'inyan hanushi. Then he'll be perfected human being. Since he's a human being, this is the best thing for him. Correct? Has to be that way because the person is only happy. Every existence is happiest when it fulfills its essence. Right? The yaniv domer abhema ukishiyia adam sholim. When he is a perfected man, miteva adam hashalom hashem lamanei shetich yanafsho, then alav olam haba the tiskayim bekiyam ayadulos avazel olam haba. You understand what I mean? That's what the Rambam says. Follow? You understand the difference? That's the difference. Is the next world the natural result or the next world the compensation? That's the question. What is it?
Equal.
What do you mean equal? Is it
equal?
Just, two things can't. Contrary, if a person does that, then he can't reach perfection. Why can't he reach perfection? Because it's a distorted value system, you can't reach perfection. The person knows Torah, he says this is the hardest thing, the most torturous thing, right? And then he's going to lose out on Olam Haba. And that'll cause him to lose out. Why? Because he's not perfecting himself. The perfection of man is to recognize and to appreciate the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he learns Chachma Hashem and he says this is terrible and the Taivas are better, so on the contrary, he's not perfecting himself. You understand what I'm saying?
Because he hates it in the first place.
Right. Correct. So he can't. He will be destroying his own objective. Right? If he should say he's learning for that purpose. Alright, you see it? Is it clear? Okay, now the Rambam says one last point. There's Va'od Achaber Chibur, Akabes Bokola Droshkos, and Ansoim Batalmud, Vizilosim Vavarim, Vesbor Behem Svaros, Shiuna Osim, Lamitas, and Yanami. So I'm going to write another Chibur. He says, he never wrote this Chibur. He said he was going to write it. He had in mind to write it. He says, and I'll explain to you all the Droshkos of Chazal. Va'ovi Rayami Devrayim, Gamkein.
He wrote this to the end of his life?
No, he was going to this. No, this he wrote when the Pirish Rishnais wrote from 23 to 33. V'avi ra'imi devrayim gamkei v'agala mashihum in adrashas derech pshatam derech pashtam v'asher mehem mashal. So I'll explain all the Maimer Chazal. He wanted to write a whole sefer on Maimer Chazal, you see, but he didn't do it. He changed his mind later because he thought that it was a lot of difficulties. Alright, and then he wrote the Maimer Chazal instead. He wrote that instead. So we say Ubos ha'chibar v'aylach amunos rabos, and that chibar I'll explain to you many different ideas, many different beliefs in a kabbalah. But now he's with beliefs because it doesn't mean beliefs. He means real ideas. V'sham avar kol advar ma'shenasati l'chol mehem midivrei eloh ikrim ma'at takish mehem al zulasim. He says, there, I'll explain to you what I told you over here. A drop. He says, I'll really show you the whole foundation, the whole building. So here, just a little bit.
You didn't want to give the whole thing.
Now there, just gives him, this is just a little basic introduction. This isn't really the whole thing.
So he says,
what? That part he put in the Mara. That part he did. The main ideas he gave in the Mara. He wrote the Mara. He changed his mind about writing just on Chazal. So he wrote in the Mara. That's what he says. They litfos alay amasha baba maimri zeh. Now he just says, don't, Hashem vidarti biktas milo svinyonim shetosum alay balay achachma. Can he vidarti? He says the reason why I wrote, he says, some chacham will object to the fact that I wrote so verbosely, wordily, right? Why? Because chacham writes very short. He says, but the reason why I did it is because I wrote this for a person that has no knowledge at all about olam haba or anything. See? That's what I told you. The Rambam does not hold that you need anything. This isn't considered philosophy. Remember I told you along? The Rambam holds this is not philosophy. He says the deep philosophy are right. That he wrote very short. It's the Man of Vachem, hard to understand. He says, but this is for a person, just the basics. He says, anyone, the person has no knowledge at all, he's writing this for us. That's why I wrote very lengthily and I went over it and over it, you know. See how much, how wordy he is over here. It's not like the Rambam to do that. But the reason why I did it was because he wanted to explain it to a person that has no knowledge at all.
Well,
it's just the basics.
They
what?
That's
right. That's true. And what he calls a basic person. Well, the Rambam writes in the Zagdama, if you want to, I don't know if you're ready for the Maariv Vachem. I wouldn't say you're ready for the Maariv Vachem, but I would say what you should do, the Hakdama to the Maariv Vachem is a beautiful thing. That's good to read. He writes over there, he says, there's three types of people that will read my book. He says, one will read the book and will not understand it, because one will read the book and will not understand too much because he doesn't have any philosophical knowledge. He says, but that person will gain here and there. He says, he'll still gain throughout the Sefer. He says, the other person who has philosophical knowledge will really be overjoyed. You'll see the problems that I solve. He says, but the person that thinks he has knowledge and doesn't have knowledge and has crazy ideas about Yahadis, he says, everything he reads here, things that he reads here are going to disturb him, they're going to go against him. He says, he'll not be able to take it, and he'll gain nothing out of the Sefer at all. That's what he says. There's three classes of people. A person who doesn't know, but he has a plain head. You know, he doesn't have the knowledge, but he has an open mind. He says, a person that has true knowledge, and a person that has perverted knowledge. A person that has distorted ideas, that thinks he knows and understands all of Yahadis in his crazy way, he says, that person, whatever he sees over here, he says, will disturb him, he'll never get anything out of it. Well, I want to end up one thing. Why does the Rambam say everything in the Rambam is in order? The Rambam says, "Va'oda chaber chibur kabitz b'kol drushes." Why does the Rambam write over here? He's going to explain all the drushes. Why does the Rambam write? Oh, it's true. He wants to say that he's going to give more, but why does he say he's going to explain all the drushes? See, what's the seder? What's the seder advarim of the Rambam? What's the seder advarim? What's the seder advarim? First, the Rambam brought down the. What was? Let's go back from the beginning. What's the seder? First, he brought down right five kitas, right?
Yeah.
How does he bring it down? First, he brings down what? Their philosophies, and what does he bring down next? They're proofs for the Pesukim. See? Then what does he do? Then he breaks the philosophy to pieces, tears it apart, right? One powerful blow, he wipes it out, right? Okay. Then he takes the Arias and the Pesukim. That's where he goes, the three kitas over here. And he knocks those, right? And he knocks them apart, right? Okay. Then he gives his own true philosophical idea, you see, which is from Va'ata Achel. And then he brings, he doesn't bring too many Pesukim, he brings a little bit, you know, here and there. But he says, I didn't give you the real proofs yet. Because you understand what I'm saying? He took their ideas and their proofs. And he broke their ideas, broke their proofs, and he gave his ideas. But there's one thing that he left out. What was the thing he left out? His proofs. That's why he says, Va'oda chaber chibar kabitz kukol adrushes, and he says, I'll show you what it is, and then I'll bring you the rayas from logic and rayas from Sukkim and from Chazal. You see? Because he wanted to finish up. That follows straight through from this. In other words, from here he only gave the ideas, but he didn't give the proofs. The proofs he can't give because it's too deep. You see, that'll have to be write a special Hebrew on. But it's following the pattern of the way he organized this whole Pirush Mishnayos HaChelek. You understand? You see the order? Okay, that's it. Just as an addendum, I want to mention where the Rambam says Al Tan Ksil Kivalto, that with that Talmud over there, that he didn't answer him the proper way. What did he answer him really? See, he really answered him the magical way, the way people understand today. In other words, he told him that there's going to be a change in the law of nature. That's why he showed him the mushrooms. It's just like the mushrooms change, so just like the mushrooms grow overnight, everything else will grow overnight too. So he answered him in a mystical way, because that was his level. But he didn't answer him the true way. So that's the idea. So the idea is you should use the mystical way with people that don't really, can't really comprehend the truth. Okay.